sacrifice, I sing of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you. Amen. Once more. We bring the sacrifice of praise into your heart of the Lord. The sacrifice of praise into the heart of the Lord, and we offer up for up to you the sacrifice I say of thanksgiving, and we offer up to sacrifice I sins of grace.
Amen. We want to welcome everyone to a little meeting this evening. We would like to stand for a word of prayer. We appreciate the response and you who have made the effort to be here. We certainly desire to see God do something special, even this department of the church. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, with love and appreciation in our hearts for your goodness and for your grace that we have come to experience, Lord, through you desiring, dear God, to make yourself so real unto us, knowing that deep down in our hearts, Lord, there is this hunger and there is this thirst. Lord, to know you, whom to know is life eternal. And as we come gathering in this evening, Lord, Lord, desiring to be true worshipers, that would worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that would be able to take up a responsibility in the house of God, to be able to minister in song, and leading the songs and playing the music, knowing that this is such an important part in your service, dear God. And Lord, how it requires consecrated and dedicated lives. Dear God, you could come down and work through, dear God, to bring glory to your name, to create an atmosphere that you might be able to work so free among your people and wrought great deliverances and do great things in their midst, Lord. Lord, we remember in this day, even when that young sister was playing the piano in Fort Wayne and she saw the working of the Holy Spirit on the platform, and she lift her hands to praise you. Oh God, the piano didn't miss a beat, Lord. The angel of the Lord just kept playing along the keys. It just showed, dear God, you took up your position even behind the piano. Oh God, and begin to play out such a melody. The great physician now is near to sympathize in Jesus, showing us the same God who is back in the Bible days, who would anoint David and different ones, dear God, to play with such skill and understanding. Dear God, great works and signs and wonders could be attentive, Lord, could follow these things. And Father, seeing that this is the standard that you have set and laid out in your word, and Lord Jesus, knowing that in this hour, Father, when the fullness of the word has been restored to your people, Lord Jesus, and you're bringing your bride to perfection, Lord, in every area of your work, you desire to see that perfection made manifest. And so we come approaching this little meeting this evening with this understanding, Father. Lord, with this in our hearts, we draw nigh unto you, asking that you would sanctify our hearts, asking that, dear God, you would bring us in one mind and you'd bring us into the channel of your Holy Spirit, where you can speak to us, where you can lead us and direct us, where we can receive inspiration from your word that would serve to help equip us and anoint us, Lord, even to approach, Lord, this vocation. Father, the ones that is designated to take up, Lord, their positions, dear God, would be able to minister with understanding, would be able to function, dear God, knowing the purpose, dear God. Father, you have given them that gift for, and when it is placed properly in your body, how you want to use it for your honor and for your glory, and how it can be a blessing for the edification of your people. So, dear God, we come submitting ourselves unto your Holy Spirit this evening, praying and asking for your divine direction in all that is to be said and done, and may it be to the edification of each and every one that is gathered here, and for the advancement of your kingdom. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' wonderful and precious name, asking a special blessing and anointing upon your children, dear God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. May have a seat. Well, we desire to have this meeting, and we desire to see the instruments that was just laying there dormant to be taken up again and be tuned up. You know, like the prophet talked about the old violin, when they tried to sell it, and you know, somebody maybe just pull a couple of strings on it. It didn't seem like it would much, but then the old touched the master's hand. Amen. And you begin to reveal the true word of the instrument. And we trust that these instruments, you know, that has been put down, you know, sometimes it's like our lives sometimes. If it's not being used constantly under the skillful hands of the great maestro, the one who can tune it up and play a melody out of it, we find that when we pick up our lives after much use, but it will be like an old rusty melody, out of harmony and everything else. But we are trusting by the grace of God that everything could just be brought back into the place where it ought to be, and that, you know, where we've been functioning with little substitutes here and substitutes there and these things, we can get the people that God has put a deposit in their hearts to take up that responsibility, and that lives could be dedicated again for his service. Because whatever opportunity we have to do something for the Lord is now. You know, sometimes we lose our joy, or we lose our inspiration, and we find the play is difficult sometimes, and we don't feel it in our hearts, and we go through the motions and these things. But we are looking to find that place where God's anointing, the Spirit of God, can so come upon us and move us into a dedication, into a place where we can know that if that is the position God has called us for, the prophet of God says, that is where you get your greatest blessing. You know, when Joshua divided up the land and he gave each one the inheritance, you read it in the book of Ruth, Elimelech had a portion in Judah, Bethlehem, Judah. And then a little famine came, a little depression, a little hard time came, and he came out of his position. And then he went into Moab, and you know what happened? Death began to strike. Just like the Jews, when God has brought them back in the land, God is not just interested in bringing them back in Palestine, but God is interested in bringing every tribe back in the position that was given to them when Joshua divided that land thousands of years ago. And so it is, these things, you know, speak to us of the great mystery of the body of Christ, that God, in designing our lives and in predestinating that gift in us, and the prophet preaching that message, God gifts will always find their places, that it is God's desire to move the gift into its rightful place, where it can serve its right purpose, and the body can benefit and God can be glorified. And outside of that, we would be held accountable for the talent that God have given unto us. We see the parable in Matthew 25 that Jesus told about giving talents to different ones, and the man who buried his talent. And when the master came, and he asked each one to give account for the talents that was given unto them, that the man who just buried his own, what he had, it was even taken away from him, and you know, he was judged for not being, for using it in the way that he should have used it. And so we realize that these things are put in the Bible to let us know that the body is fitly joined and compacted together, by which every joint supplied for the more effectual working of the body. And that would be, you know, sometimes the little portion that you contribute to the body and the edification of the body lies in the calling. And the calling is in relation to the gift that God by predestination placed there in your life. And that is why many times you see people, if they only have the gift and they don't have the virtues with the gift, then they play for a while. While they're a little anointed and blessed, and then they wiggle away. And then they just kind of, life goes into a rut, and they leave everything undone, and, you know, it's difficult. And then when they, you know, feel so, you know, depressed and or whatever, and they feel a little refreshing again, then they want to move back again. But the person who has the virtues with the gift, even though they have to play and use that gift and in the midst of all kind of trials and testings and pressures from the enemy, then they hold that place and they stand there and they give their witness and testimony where God have placed them. You know, even the natural realm, you see God, when he was laying out his great mystery of botany life, God made from the blade of grass right up to the cedars of Lebanon. From the hyssop, the Bible says, which was the common weed that grew in the wall, that they took the hyssop and they applied the blood all the way to the great cedars of Lebanon. And every type of botany life that God made, the prophet says some was out for the desert, some was for the mountains, some was for the valley, some was for the different places, the plains. And, you know, when we realize that God in his great economy have placed every one of us in a position, just in the placing where they are, even in the natural landscape, then they are put there in that particular position to give a witness. The cedar cannot give a witness in the desert. The cedar is placed in the mountaintop to give its witness. The cactus, God put it out in the desert to give its witness there. God put the lily out in the valley to give its witness there. And so in the body of Christ, where God have placed us all out, then he has a place for us by the grace of God. And what helps you in your Christian life is when you learn to understand the working of God behind your life. But Abraham, when the angel came to him, the angel came to him to explain to him his misunderstood life, that he was able to understand that he was born with gifts, and those gifts was for a purpose, and he didn't know how to use them until the angel came. And when the angel came, though the gifts was being made manifest in his life, not until the angel came and began to train him how to use these things properly and begin to show him scriptures, that sometimes people could be working the gift and you get weak. Sometimes God worked the gift and you don't get weak. You see? And different things like that. He says sometimes when he started in the ministry, you would see a couple of visions and they had to close down the meeting because you begin to cry and become so nervous and broken up and these things, and he didn't know how to run the meetings, and so much thousands could be prayed for, he couldn't even pray for them. Sometimes you get to cater into people who just try to hold him in the realm of the gifts, and yet God wanted to do something greater than the gifts. The gift was only to get their attention so he could bring the message to them. And so it took the angel of the Lord to teach him about the gifts that God put in his life and how they should be used in the service of God. You see, just like when God was building up the tabernacle and they had different type of vessels, and each type of vessel was for a particular type of service. But you find like in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when he came and he burned the temple down and he took the vessels and he took them into Babylon, then they begin to use these same vessels for a different purpose. Yet these was vessels that was designed with a man who had a knowledge of a heavenly pattern given to him by a prophet. When the prophet came and told those men who was killing, working in gold, working in silver and so on, working in brass, he would give them a pattern. He said, in the vision, I saw you must have a censer. And this censer is to burn the frankincense. And the high priest is to take this and shake this like this, you know, before the altar and so on, and offer the sacrifice. And it must have certain chains. And the chain must be so long. And it must be made in such a fashion. Well, when he give the man the blueprint, the man maybe take the people gold earrings and the gold bracelet and these things. Then they begin to melt it in a furnace. Then that's under the hands of the skilled engraver. He molds it. And then he begin to put the engravings on top that vessel. See? And then finally, you see, the king of Babylon come down and take it. He don't know that this was reflecting something in heaven. He didn't know this was designed by a heavenly pattern. He didn't know that this was for a special ordained service. You see, for a particular function. So they take it out there into Babylon, and then they begin to misuse it. They begin to pervert its use to other type of things. And so it is many times that, you see, the devil comes in and take a hold of a believer that God, by a heavenly pattern, has designed the life. The prophet say God know what seed and which egg to bring together. He know how tall you're going to be. He know whether you're going to be a person, you're outgoing, whether you're inward, whether you're moody, whether you're not moody. He designed your personality. He designed your life because he's making you up for a particular function in the body. Sometimes you might be a songwriter and you got to be a very moody person. You don't know why you're moody. And you wish you wasn't so. But then when he revealed the prophet, he said, look at Eddie Pruitt. He said, the man was inspired to write the songs. He said, then when the inspiration leave him, I want to go and commit suicide. He said, William Cowper write the funk and fill with blood. He said, the inspiration leave him, look how he want to go and kill it, take his own life. He said, look at Jonah when the inspiration come upon him. Look at Elijah when the inspiration come upon him. Look at John the Baptist when the inspiration come upon him. And when it left them, look how they begin to cry and how they became. You see? And then God, by a prophet, could help us understand things about people who are gifted. Now you find out sometimes we don't realize our makeup we a certain way. Sometimes you break up and you cry and somebody laugh at you and call you a sissy, you're too weak, you're always crying and different things. But God make you up in a way that you can feel things, you can feel people's sufferings. Maybe it's the intercessory prayer to enter into people's infirmity and pray for them. Maybe it's to enter into a channel and come out with an anointing to write certain type of songs. Certain type of songs of when you're in the valley. In the valley he restored my soul. Or certain type of songs that could express pain and agony and these things. And sometimes if we are not close observers, we fail to understand and we fail to recognize the working of the Spirit in our life. Sometimes it happens so simple we cannot even discern it is the working of the Holy Spirit. But when we get under the Word and we get under the influence of the Word, and we get into the scripture, we begin to see that all these things are for a purpose. And that is why when a person can find their place, when they can understand their function, when they can understand their makeup, then they can stay with it after a while. See? They wouldn't just be being shaken out. They know that it is God's will. God wants them there. They understand how God deals with them. They know why they're getting the pressure from the enemy, because the enemy knows they stay long enough in the place where they are born to take up as a position, then what is going to happen? It means to say that they will beget, because when you're in a position, that's where you get your strength. That's why Boaz tell Ruth, he said, don't glean in other fields, glean in this field. Your nourishment going to come here. The reaper's going to drop an extra handful here. You go in another field, you get no handful. You just go back home empty-handed. But when you find your place, when it's revealed to you, where you're going to serve and labor, then you find he sent angels from the presence of God to minister unto you, to drop down an anointing for you, to give you an inspiration many times, to lead you. And then you can see in the pathway of your life that as you walk, things unfold. You begin to see that there's a continuity in your life. And so, you know, you find that as a servant of Jesus Christ, whether it's just to be an usher by the door, whether it's just to be a musician, whether it's just to be somebody leading the song, whether it's just to do, you know, sing a special or something, when the time comes and you have to approach it, you find that you can approach it with the understanding. You can approach it by being in the channel, because the understanding will put you in the channel. Sometimes, you know, you find that the prophet is like the little boy trying to put his hand on his sleeve, and he's fighting up and he's struggling to get his hand on his sleeve. He can't do it. But then his mama comes and she holds his hand, and she just guides it into the sleeve, and it's so easy. Well, sometimes to get into the channel is so difficult, but then God comes and God puts your mind into the channel, and then you find it's so easy to work in the channel. It's no longer a struggle. It's no longer to work up and force anything. It's just to yield yourself and the Holy Spirit just work through you. Because what is a gift, he says? A gift is you coming out of the way and God coming in. You see, learning to let go. And that is why God, in his training, he have to bring us to a place of weakness. To take the human ability out where we want to do it. Where ambition just want to drive us. We want to compete. We want to do this. We want to do it. We want to be seen. We want to get out there. We have confidence in the flesh. But then when God could get that away from us, sometimes we find ourselves like we're in such a helpless condition. And all we can do is yield. But that is God's will. That is where he wants us, where all we can do is yield. And as we begin to yield, then he would be able to take us into places that we do not know. Because when you depend on your ability, you only depend upon what your ability have allowed you to experience.
Because the moment you have to go into something depending on your human ability and you never went there before, then there's a lack of assurance. There's a lack of confidence because you don't know what is going to happen there. But when you yield to God, then you have no fear because God's Spirit can take you there. Because God is the one who's in control. God wants to take us into places beyond just a little blessing, beyond just a little plane. And so I wanted to read a couple of scriptures here. And if you have your Bible, or you could just maybe listen if you don't have your Bible. But I just wanted to read because this is where we like to do this, when especially we want to make it real in the hearts of the believers that it is a ministry. It is a ministry in the house of the Lord. It's not just you want to sing, you want to play, you want to do these things because it's good to have a position in the church. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a ministry to the body of Jesus Christ and being trained in the ministry, that you become a channel of blessing, that the Holy Spirit can work through that channel because He's put something in you that He can take and bring strength and inspiration and blessing to the hearts of His people. And we see in the Bible, I would like to read maybe first some First Chronicles 15. Take my first reading from there, something out of there, and help that it will open a channel for you that we can see what when we would like to have in the worship service. We'd like to take a little emphasis on the worship service, that the musicians, the singers, the song leaders, they are integral units that work together. In other words, the prophet says, you know, like you are speaking in tongues. There's always a good, you have somebody speaking in tongues and then you have somebody to interpret. Those gifts must work together. It must be in harmony to one another. So there are gifts that have to work with another gift in order to be a real blessing. See? In order to really help the body and assist the body. And so your gifts is lumped together. One that is singing, it needs an accompaniment in the music. Then you have a song leader who is over the singing and the music, that to lead the people in worship. Then all these gifts must work together. And if they have to work together, there must be harmony. There must be understanding of the individual parts. And then there must be understanding to bring harmony when they become a collective unit. So if we go to remain in our individual, then the guitar man, he just want to go down. And boy, when he feels to kind of play and make a run, everybody waiting for him to come back. You see, and then maybe you're in the bass man, you know, he just get dear boy and he just get lost in the bass, you see. And then the organist then want to do the own thing, then we're gonna run the problem. Then the song leader, you know, maybe he want to take the song, switch to another chorus, and they're not even looking to him and keeping their eyes to him for him now to change the beat to another chorus. So then he have to kind of wait there maybe until they realize they are working with him. So they have to keep looking at him and he had to keep looking at them because they are working as a collective unit. So then there are times when we get down to solo, and in a solo then maybe a song might be arranged a certain way and it's practiced a certain way. So then that song may allow for maybe some guitar arrangement over some special arrangement in the singing of the song, in the rendition of the song. And then when that comes, then it's more on an individual level. But when we deal with a song service, it's on a collective level, right? It's on a group level. Then when we come down to, let's say, maybe like group singing, you have group singing, you have individual singing, you have choir singing, you have congregational singing, and it means to say, then we need to know how, as a musician, you know, we are working and in what line we are working in, and that is why we want to really look at some of these things in the scripture to know how we should be. And I would quickly maybe just like to read from around verse 13. I'll read from. This is after David, and they had tried to bring back the ark in First Chronicles 13. You know what happened? They had the ark in the wrong channel, was killing people, and then God was so angry. And then God showed David the word, the ark, was in the wrong channel. So then now, verse 13, it says, "For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God broke forth upon us because we sought him not in the due order or in the proper way. So David is now beginning to find out that because he didn't seek God in the proper way, death had struck and God dishonored everything. So it says in verse 14, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God upon their shoulders with its staves. It's not on a new cart now, it's on the shoulder of the Levites. As Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. See? It's now just with the prophet that said it. And David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by the lifting up their voice with joy. So here it was, the word was coming back among the people. The word was in the shoulder of the Levites, and the word was being restored. And then now that the word was in the right channel, they had to get the worship now in the right channel. They had to get the singers and the musicians and so on. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren Asaph, the son of Berechiah, of the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Cushiah, and with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, and Jehaziel, and Shemiramot, and Jehiel, and Omni, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Masaiah, and okay, let's all the names by God's grace. So the singers Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were appointed to song with cymbals of brass. And Zechariah, and Aziel, and Shemiramot, and Jehiel, and Oni, and Eliab, and Masaiah, and Benaiah with psalteries on Alamoth. Then they called the others with harps to lead. And verse 22 says, and Chenianah, leader of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. So they didn't just go in and start up all kind of business. They found their men. They said, okay, you're going to crash them cymbals. You're going to take up this instrument here. Then they get the song. They say, no, you have to be skillful in the song. You have to instruct in the song. Because certain songs was written under certain inspiration. It has certain songs that relate to certain experiences. And when certain songs is being sung, it has to be sung with the spirit of those songs, because if we live in a certain experience, you see, with the Holy Spirit will have to be, otherwise it will just be a formality. You see? So notice that there. And then it goes on there in verse 27 and 28. It says, and David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites who bore the ark, and the singers, and Chenianah, the master of the song with the singers. David had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with song of the coronet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. So they had all the different instruments that they had there. The ark was coming up on the shoulder of the Levites. David in his robe of linen with the ephod, and then the master of the song, or the song leader, with the singers, and the whole move was in order. And let's just look at verse chapter 25, First Chronicles 25 as well. Just take out one or two of these so you can get an idea of... You see, many times people sing and they do things in the house of the Lord, and they do it in such a weak, deformed way many times that they want to sing a song for the Lord. Maybe it's because they want to express appreciation, and it's really personally for them as a personal sacrifice of individual praise. So they get up there and they close their eyes and they say, you know, Lord, we thank you, and they go through the song, and the congregation bear with them and everything else, and it's nice, and you appreciate God done something for the person is grateful, and they come back to sing a song for the Lord. But that is not a ministry of song in the house of God. A ministry of song in the house of God is to inspire the people. Is to lift the people. Is to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to work in. And that's a person who have to be following the word. And when they see the word in a certain season, then they know the songs to sing inside of there. Maybe the congregation going through a hard time, and they need to be encouraged, and they need to say, keep pressing on, keep pressing on. you know, and maybe difficult times and people need ministering to, they are hurting on the inside, then somebody can come in the end and sing a song to lift the burdens off of the people, to inspire the hope in these things, you see? So we must understand that if we have a ministry in the song, then how we must approach it, and we must seek God for the anointing even to deliver it by God's grace. So 1 Chronicles 25, verse 20 says, "Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph." And Asaph was really like one of the great songwriters, one of the great poets. You go back in the Psalms, you see Asaph. Asaph had a school where a lot of the young ones in Israel who was so inspired in writing songs and playing and rendering the songs. You see, that because he was one of the Levites. Remember Wednesday we had the message, Jehaziel, who was of the son of Mattaniah, who was the son of this one, of the son of Zechariah, who was the son of Asaph. See? And he was a Levite that the Spirit came on. Well, Asaph was one of the Levites who was in charge of the singing and song in the worship of God. And he was a very inspired man in that time. And David, who understood the inspiration and, you know, the moving of the Spirit and what God wanted there in Israel when the word was among the people, then he had appointed Asaph to that special service. And Heman and Jeduthun, and if you look in the Psalms, you'll see all these men wrote Psalms, because all the Psalms was not written by David. David wrote some of the Psalms, and then there's other Psalms written by Asaph, some by Jeduthun, some by Moses, different things. So these men were songwriters, some of them. "Who should prophesy with harps and psalteries and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service?" And then give you a whole list. And verse 3, the latter part, it says, "Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord." And verse 5, after give a list of the names of the different ones who were special men selected and gifted in this department. It says, "These were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God, to lift up the horn. And God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the hands of their father to sing of a song in the house of the Lord." God gave people of a song in the house of the Lord. A whole 14 sons and 3 daughters. You can imagine, brother, that soloist inside of there, who could have sing second, who could have sing, brother, alto, soprano, everything. They could have mixed it up and everything else, and they could have sing battle songs, they could have sing, you know, in funerals, they could have sing in weddings, they could have sing in dedications, they could have sing, brother, when they're having a victory, because every time, every occasion is a different spirit, is a different type of anointing, and they got a different type of song to relate to the occasion. So these people were so trained, it wasn't just maybe they sing one type of song, but they were so gifted that God gave them for song in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and harps for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order, which is David, to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. So the number of them with their brethren who were instructed in the songs of the Lord. Notice that they've always been instructed in the songs. You know, they say, I like this song, you know. Sometimes, you know, a person might have a song and they hear it and they realize that song is a popular song. It brings great joy or inspiration, have a nice beat. But they may not have the voice of the song. They may not have the spirit to deliver the song. But they like it because they figure, well, nobody never sing this one, and I'm going to sing this one first. You know, that's carnality. Oh, then somebody says, well, I write this song, and I'm supposed to sing this song. I write this song. God give me this song. Well, God might give it in the capacity of a songwriter. Somebody else in the capacity of a singer may sing what you write, because they may have the personality to reflect the song with the right emphasis, and the character, the makeup, you know, really brings out the true character of the song. So notice it was always instructed in the song. And then verse 8, it says, "Even all that was skillful was 200 fourscore and 8. Well, that was on a national level. We are dealing on a local level. If we go on a national level, basically we might get that amount by God's grace. But locally, we may not have 200 and something. We may have 5. But nevertheless, 5 will be sufficient for how much we have we want to use. And they cast lots for their duties." See, because each one, sometimes, you know, if you notice it says in Luke chapter 1, when you see the Levites were so much that they minister in courses. And sometimes, you know, you have one service Wednesday night, you have one service Friday night, one service Sunday morning. So you have three services a week. So sometimes everybody can sing and right away. And somebody might be sitting down there, and then somebody will say, well, I want to sing Sunday morning. See, Sunday morning, they come with the best clothes. So they stand in front of the church, and they're looking nice, and church is packed, and everybody kind of geared up for a Sunday morning service. But then sometimes the song they may have is a song for prayer service night. Just right there to create the atmosphere, to anoint the people to really pray and travail, or whatever it is, by God's grace. You see? So then the Bible says they had to cast lots to for the courses sometimes. You see? Now, the casting lots was a divine way they found out the will of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit was not yet given. You see? To lead them from the inside. See? And so they cast lots. That's when they say, okay, well, we have the Feast of Tabernacles coming up, and we have to do some singing for that. We have the Feast of Trumpets coming up, and we have the Feast of the Passover, and some they sing the Passover songs about Egypt and the bitter herbs, and when let the dead angel pass, God bride safe at last, you know, the token, and so on. And then they go through that kind of atmosphere. So they would cast lots for the service, because the Bible says it was the course of Zechariah. He was when his time came, he was ministering in his course. He was the course of Abijah, and then they had to minister at a certain time, burning the incense and so on in the temple when Gabriel came. So sometimes, you know, the song leader may say, well, I think you're going to sing on Friday. And you say, I'd like to sing, you guys want singing. And then you get in a whole carnal business. And, you know, these are the things that show you might have a gift, but you don't have the virtue. But if you have the virtue, you just humble yourself. You have knowledge to know the song leader is put there by God. You have faith to believe that where you are placed, that all things work together for good. Maybe somebody going to come in Friday that need that song, could need that lift. Some part of the body that going to need that nourishment that's going to be ministered through the song. So when you get a carnal for somebody that maybe see you on a particular day, or you sound good, or some certain thing, then we run into problems, you see? So I would like to read something also for the musicians. That this is more for the singers and the song leaders. And let's just pick up one for the musicians. And we're going to maybe find it over in 1 Samuel 16. Now, I'm reading this with the intent that you who are a singer and a musician will realize that your position and your vocation is laid in the Bible. So when you function in the same way a minister have to find his function, his type in the Bible and know how to function, you as a singer will find your position in the Bible and know how to function. You as a musician will find your position in the Bible and know how to function. You see? So you'll be able to draw your inspiration. You'll have your standard, you'll see God's standard, and you'll be able to know how to function in your office. And we're going to read here from about verse 14. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubled thee. Watch, this man was called by the prophet. This man was anointed and placed positionally in our office by the word of a prophet. And then this man failed to carry out the word of the prophet the way he ought to carry it out. And the anointing left him. The Spirit of God left him, and an evil spirit began to trouble him. It's like a church. Might be under a prophet's message. Might be anointed with the Spirit of God. But then what happens? If that church don't walk in all the word of the prophet, then you see, here is an individual level. But the same way God will do an individual, will do a family. Same way a family will do a church. Same way a church will do a nation. See, that's the principle in the Bible. And he failed to carry out the word of the prophet, and then God, for chastisement, an evil spirit began to trouble him. But what's something? And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from the God troubled thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants who are before thee to seek out a man who is a skillful player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and that thou shalt be well. See? what is a string instrument and they are playing with their hands. Watch that. That's written in the Bible. That's not just that. You see, they were looking for something to break the influence of the spirit that was anointing him and throwing him into like a mental condition, like a nervous breakdown where he cannot be at peace. And he should be so riled that he would always be, you know, irritable, and he pelt something, and you know, every time you see David, he pelt the javelin and these things. You know how he was when the evil spirit came upon him. And they realized, look, this thing could break, you know. Somebody didn't say, well, give a man, mix up some chandelier and some salt and, you know, some kind of thing, you know, or, you know, carry on for a bush bat or something. It wasn't like that. They say, get a skillful player. They say, you must play with the hands, and you must play a string instrument. Well, the piano is a string instrument. The guitar is a string instrument, and they play with their hands. So sometimes you get a play in the air, like when the sister was playing in Fort Wayne, the great physician now is near, see? And the angel of the Lord just sweep right down, kept playing while she was up with her hands in the air, singing in tongues, you see? Now watch. Now, it showed that those things didn't stay in the Old Testament. It was right in the message of the hour. But why, if it is there and available, why we don't move into it sometimes? Because why? What standard we set? What we look at? Today, instead of work with the scriptures, we work with some record we pick up outside, or we work with something we hear, Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir or something. And now we might pick up things there, people's skill in music, and they reach a certain stage and so on. But the thing is, sometimes, don't eliminate the word. Because you see, the thing is, the word have principles. An unbeliever could get in there and use the same principle of the word and get the result many times. But Ram said, I see a sainted woman coming through the prayer line many times. And she's saying, oh God, heal me, oh God, heal me, oh God, heal me. And she go right through and don't get the healing. He said, I see a little faithful woman come right through. Say, if God do that for that man, he could do the same thing for me. And she walk right through and get the healing. He said, I see it many times. He says, why? It's not based on your righteousness, it's based on faith. You see? Now the thing is, if you take, let me say, gas and matches and light a fire, a good man can take gas and matches and light a fire too. A bad man can do it. He get a hold of the principle. See that? Because if Einstein understood the spiritual law, he'd find God before the church. Because he had the natural principle of that center of the universe. If a man contacted, he could create worlds. So when you look at it now, this is something put in the Bible here. And it's put in the Bible to let us see music is not just to get people happy. There's a spiritual power that moves with it. And that spiritual power, you ever hear Brother Ramsey say, God healed by a kind word. God heals by music. God can heal by a smile. Because all healing is in the atonement. But to bring it to a reality, to minister it, God could use any channel. That's why in one place, they go to the pool where the angel troubled the water, and they get healed. He said that was one way God did it. In another way, Paul sent handkerchiefs off his body. In another way, the healing come. Because if you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, it says gifts of healing. He said, notice, it's the only one where it says gifts of healing. Not gift, singular. Gifts, plural. That God could do it in different ways. You see? He bring healing in different ways. So verse 16 again, he said, let our Lord now command thy servants who are before thee to seek out a man who is a skillful player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well. Not just play, but play well. To bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is as skillful in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters. You see, when you're in the church, you don't just want a skillful player, you want one prudent in matters. But Abraham said, don't want somebody to come in and play. Boy, they play up a storm tonight. Tomorrow when they have service, they have a good double shown by Strand, and they want to miss that double. Or they have a good game in the stadium, and boy, the favorite team playing, and they want to be down there. You see? He said, you don't want that kind of thing. In the house of God today, next day they're outside there, next day they're coming, jumping. Uh-uh. We're talking about a ministry in the word for the body, somebody by revelation find a place, dedicate their life, take up their position, and the Holy Spirit minister through them in that office. So you have to be prudent in matters, a responsible person, see, an agreeable person, and the Lord is with him. Notice the end of that? He's responsible, he's skillful, he's very agreeable. You know, you meet a person that's stuck up there, you can't talk to them. Boy, they begin to play, they feel, they stand the silver screen. See? They feel that they you know, there's a sense of attraction or something. You know, people need their autograph after service. Hey, let me make that run again, let me hear it, you know. Like if it's a platform performance or something. But it's an agreeable person, humble, willing to minister, willing to spend time with others, impart your knowledge, help train others in the assembly, sometimes dedicate, realize that it goes more than just playing. Because you are so interested in the service of the Lord, the day you can't be there, you want to have somebody else who can fill in. So sometimes you kind of want to help with the songs, you want to take time because you're interested in the work of the Lord. It's not that you kind of glad, well, when you are wrong, the work of the Lord going good. And when you are wrong, the work of the Lord going to suffer. And you're going to be like, they ought to see the need me. You understand? Yeah, so then when I walk in, then they know, look, I hear they could feel kind of good because I hear on this side today. You know, not that kind of thing. We don't want that kind of thing at all by God's grace. Amen? So wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with the bread and the skin of the wine and a kid and sent them by David unto his son Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he had found favor in my sight. The Bible says a gift will take you before great men. You know that? He had a little shepherd boy. His gift took him before the king of Israel, took him right into the throne room of the king. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Notice that? He was refreshed. He was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Treat him. But notice something. You see why he had to be prudent in matters? He went there for a purpose, and he was trying to chat down them little girls in the king's palace. Or you're out there by the stable looking at all the nice horses or something. Or you're out there trying to look at all the soldiers training in the courtyard or something. Whether he went there for a job. His eyes had to be on the king. He had to stay on the king. From the time he see the king's eyes, like he started to get cross. And the king here started to slam on the back of his head. I know like the evil spirit and the king boy. And the king started to grind them teeth and grunt. You know what I mean? But he had to run for the harp and started to play quick and started to sing skillfully. You see? And then it drove away the spirit. It showed creating the atmosphere. What it can do when we're going to play the music. You know, sometimes we play, and we're playing according to the keys. Da, 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 da. And we're playing there, and we're not looking at the congregation, and one nodding on the self, and one gazing and checking out the lights it has on the roof, and one trying to see who is the last people that's coming. They hear something by the door move, and then some look over to the window there because they see some sort of birds on that mango tree down the back there. And when they come and they get behind the instrument, they get behind, they come in, they take a little time to pray, they get behind the instruments. And when the time comes and the organ music is going to be taking off and they're going to come over and begin to play for the service, they must, if they're not prayerful, they will not be sensitive to what the Spirit wants in the service. If they don't see it necessary to have some coordination with the song leader to know what kind of channel he has prayed and he's coming to lead the songs in, so that they can, by the little live music before the song leader comes to the pulpit, the people's minds and spirits is already being brought into the same channel with the live music. Because remember, the organ music is just going to play what on it every service. You understand what I mean? What on the organ music is going to... If after Amazing Grace, you have when you draw his hand for me, you're going to get that every time you pour on that tape. And the thing is, you find this young leader might want to come, this is the day the Lord has made. So when the musicians come, in other words, what I'm saying, your gifts go together and you must understand the necessity of working together. He's always in place when he comes and talks to his musicians. And the song leader must know the importance, he must be an agreeable person, he must know the importance of communication. In other words, he's like a captain and he has a little team. And he has to lead his team. If he stand up here fumbling around dead and they charge with the music and bury, he like a stop cork, you know, have them bottle up here and they can't let loose because the people could be blessed, but he like a big stop cork in here, you know, fumbling around, and he's going to cause problems. When he comes here, he and his team must be in one mind. And they must know that the effort that they are putting forth in the service of God in that particular service is to lift the people, to bring them into a certain atmosphere that God have revealed to them, and the choice of songs that they feel led to sing in that particular service and play is going to create the desired atmosphere that they feel impressed upon their hearts by the Holy Spirit that God wants to deal with the people in a particular way in that service. So that is why in praying, you're praying in a certain channel. In communication, the song leader must be able to inspire his musicians, be able to inspire his people. And, you know, we as workers, if we see things sometimes, we must feel free to make suggestions. In other words, when you sit down there, don't sit down there and have a suggestion to make and you feel all pent up and you can't make it. And then, because it's not a force. Nobody's trying to dominate nobody. The thing is, you are working together. You are a team. You are a unit. And you have leadership, and it's in the role of the song leader. He's working with the musicians. You are his helps. And you all have a job to bring the congregation into the spirit of the Lord. See? And it means to create a spirit of joy. It must originate in the hearts of the musicians and the song leader. Because the organ of itself can't produce the joy. It is the player behind the instrument is using the instrument and the music as a medium to communicate the feeling that they have, that they want to impart to the congregation. And especially sometimes when somebody is singing, so when you get a person singing a special, and God might give them a particular anointing in rendering the song in the service, something that maybe didn't even come down in the practice. But that particular morning, because when they were practicing, they were just getting the song together. But then God wanted that song, like a stone in David's sling, so to speak, to do a particular work. And the very person who might be bound up and who's going to get the deliverance through that song or the congregation to be inspired for a particular thing God wanted to do in that service. Then when God sees fit now to give that anointing, because the people is there who God wants to minister to with the song. And then when that anointing comes, if we try to stick to the practice and the person wants to go up in a higher octave and the person wants to sing with a great enthusiasm, and then we play with a certain feeling in the practice and it's like, I am so self-conscious, I don't want to perspire too much this morning because I put on some special perfume I get for my, you know, husband who I bought, you know, for, I get as a birthday gift or something and I wear it this morning, I don't want to perspire and wear it out or something. You know what I mean? So then you want to just stay and kind of just play. And the person singing their heart out and you see somebody there in the congregation, they've been a breakdown in tears. God being the minister the song down their heart because the song is saying exactly what they went through. And they're praying the Lord when they come to the service. And here God is answering the very prayer. And we're not even conscious what is happening. We think, but she like to make noise. We should make all the noise. Why should I shut up? You see? And we don't even know what's happening in the spiritual realm. You see? And that is why we need to be so sensitive as people. You see? And you have the ability to do it. Because let me tell you, singers and musicians and people like that, they have the ability to be sensitive. That is why you have that kind of a gift. Because that kind of gift requires sensitivity. You see? To be sensitive to the atmosphere. Like the song leader, he comes in here and, you know, he begins to sing a song. Boy, he feels all joy because he's having the victory personally. Right? He's on top of the mountaintop. But then, you know, he comes in there and he wants to kind of sing in a certain way because personally he feels that way. But then God might want to put in one or two slow ones in there for somebody to help them. And then if he is not sensitive and the Spirit is trying to bring it to him and he's feeling that, no, but I don't have five of these here and these five kind of tie together. And he alone is seeing how this song tie with this one, how this, and nobody's watching all them fine things inside of there. But he alone is seeing that, you see, and he wants to kind of finish off those five because maybe David had five stones, and I pick up my five smooth stones in the brook, and, you know, but when David had five smooth stones in the brook, God only used one. And he went back with four. You understand what I mean? So the thing is the sensitivity that it requires in the line of duty that you just kind of move in there by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, and we can see a real lift by God's grace. So in your particular areas, if you're not conscious of ministry, you will not relate to it like a ministry. What makes you relate to it like a ministry is the consciousness is a ministry. And if you know it's a ministry, then you seek God for inspiration to function in the ministry. Because if it's a ministry, you know what that particular ministry is responsible for. You know the scope of the ministry. You know the areas and the boundaries that ministry is going to operate in. And you know the kind of anointing that would be required to contact the people. And if it's approached correctly, if it's done properly, we see the people can be refreshed. The evil spirits can leave the people. See? All the, when you say evil spirit, you don't mean somebody, you know, coming here talking about Hanuman and grunting and groaning, that type of thing. Sometimes the evil spirit of depression. Evil spirit has somebody bungled again, a sadness, melancholy, they can't have the victory. Old spirit of gloom and doom, have them hang down their head, boy. They feel so full of condemnation and beaten down, whatever it is. It's an evil spirit. You see? And then through the ministry, it can cast out devils. It can do so much. And that is why in the approach to it is so important. And last night in the prayer service, I was taking the scripture there, you come in, you need to get in that laver. You need to have that anointing. You need to have them things mixed together. See, it must be mixed together. Prayer, thanksgiving, praise. There must be praise. There must be thanksgiving. There must be prayer. You see, because a Christian is not a gimme person. Because a Christian is one with faith who know God promised to supply all their needs. They know God promised to give them full press down and running over. They know God tell them, ask that the joys may be full. So as far as behaving like if God don't want to give us an approach and go like, oh God, and you know, it sometimes we have to know, Father, we thank you that you have made provision for us. You see, we have to show, we recognize what has been done on our behalf and the way that has been opened for us to come in and receive these things by God's grace. Especially, remember what God told Moses? He said, what are you crying to me about? Speak and go forward. In other words, you call, you train, you're anointed, you're in the line of duty. You have the authority for those things in your very training. I prepare you for this very moment. I know you're asking me what to do. You see? And God had to rebuke him. He said, look at Joshua. Joshua never had to be rebuked. Joshua says, son, stand still. I'm fighting the battle of the Lord. I need that light. You see? And that is why it's very important for us there. So some of the things in the singing, we know, especially, you know, we get into areas sometimes where we have in the house of God, in the service of God, the scope is very wide. And, you know, they have all different types of services. We have funeral services, we have baptism services, we have weddings, we have the Lord's Supper, we have healing services, we have our regular services, we have prayer services. And each different type of service
is approached with a certain attitude, because we're conscious what each service, what is taking place there. And that is why, you know, in people ministering and understanding, you know, each particular type of service, then they can know. In other words, a song leader must know his singers. Just like in the Bible, the man was instructed in the song. He studied these areas. He studied out these things. He get his people together. He must see what he has before he can know how he can work and the extent of the scope of his work. He can know who can fit where and how those gifts can be used even a multi-purpose way. You see, because many times people are gifted in a way, in a variety of ways that they can be of great blessing if used properly. The atmosphere that's being created. You see, sometimes we get people, they it's all in training. Before we can inform people, we can say I'm not feeling too well, you know, I wait until the last minute, I'm sorry to inform you so late, but I wait until the last minute, but I still felt I might be able to do it, I couldn't, I'm sorry. The song leader, no, well, it's not your procedure to do like that. You are a very reliable person, you're a very dependable and responsible person, so they know you're not making an excuse. You don't do that all the time. But you have some people, boy, they show up today, these campground stars. I noticed that in the church already. I preach about 4 services here. I noticed that already. I had some people who talk plenty, plenty, plenty. And then they come service once a week. See? I tell them I'm a different kind of person. See? Come service once a week. I didn't notice that already. Who just comes service once a week? See? And then there are some of the people who would be assisted by the church. See? So maybe they come for the assistance on that day. You see, a lot of these things may change. It's either they change me, or a lot of things change. But we can work together with that, you see. We're looking to see God in every place, come to a place. We're talking about the reality of God moving among the people. And we are the mechanics. It's not that God is doing everything. God has to get people in order, people in shape, people thinking right, acting right, speaking right, convinced right, people committed to the work, you see. Who feels the commitment, who has gotten under the burden, I want to shoulder the responsibility and carry the load of the work to see God do something. Not people who walk in to soak up the blessing when it's convenient. Every part has to be a living part. You know, false part like an artificial arm. When I'm going out, I just put on the arm when I'm wearing my long sleeve. You know? So, but that's an artificial arm. But when I'm around the house and thing, I have it hung up in the wardrobe. The body can't have no artificial arms. Once we see an artificial arm, we're going to try to get life in that artificial thing and make it a living part of the body. Because a living part of the body would be a part that is involved, active, participating, bearing the burden. They can pray for what is happening here. They can support what is happening here. They can be part of it. They can find a place, what they have to do. If you just say amen, self, the one to be right there, the post by God's grace. Because let me tell you, to really see God move, because many times we satisfy with a lot of things we call God move, you know. And God didn't start to move yet. But to really see God move in you, see God manifest his word, then God has a requirement. And this is one of our first little areas here, and I'm sure you all can see is a very important area. It's not just coming to play. You want to play, you want to improve your playing, you want to be more skillful, you want to be able to, sometimes different people have different styles. It's easier to play for somebody, harder to play for somebody else. And then when that happens, if you are the kind of person who is give up quick, and you lack perseverance, then what happens? You always vex when the hard thing come along. You always wish we could just cut off that person and let that person don't function, so we could just play when it's easy. So then what we do? Subconsciously, we make everything to revolve around us, to accommodate us, and no longer we think for the body. We bring it to a selfish thing. You see? But that is the part now might show up you need to be a little more skillful. That is the part might show up you need to put a little more hours into your practice. That is the part might show up you need a little more faith in your office where you are. That is the part might show you need a greater measure of the anointing in your life.
Because it might function at one level, but when you go a little higher order, it becomes difficult to climb up. You see? And this is where it's going to be. And you see, the thing is, you know, one of the greatest curses is somebody who is not really meeting the requirements of the word and then wanting to hold an office for to be seen, for the ambition, a sense of importance, and or whatever they feel by occupying a position and not one really under the burden and have the commitment and have the dedicated life that is required to fulfill the office. The first thing you want to know, if God has given you a gift, you want to dedicate your life. Then be convinced of it. Then you want to seek God. Get to be in God's presence. Because you can't say, this man give an eye interest in the word. Because one of the biggest stumbling blocks in the church is people who would be gifted people playing the church. They always tend to be a little irresponsible. Because they feel, I don't do my part is that then. So then as they play for half hour, before half hour, after, whatever it is, then sometimes they don't know the word. They not really understand what the Spirit do in the church. Sometimes they just think, well, maybe when you sit up here, everybody sit down here and they see you up here, and that means you are an elevated being. You know, like they're just angels, but you are seraphim up here, you know? So it's not that kind of thing, you see? So the thing is, you want to know that if you are there, once you're in the eyes of the people, especially, that's why I believe it under my ministry, once you're in the eyes of the people, you better be an example outside the church. You better be an example among the people. And you better be one, because why? You're in the front line. And once you're in the front line, you be involved in the word. Be quick to respond to the call of duty. Show the willingness. Because you're in the front line. It means that you are one of the strong ones. Because you're there in a leading position. You're in a position that where you are going to help self to inspire others. And you have to have it first before you can give it out. Because you'll get blood out of a turnip, right? The turnip have to have blood to give blood. If you don't have no blood, it can't give blood to begin with. So it's the same way. So I trust that in our the little few things we discuss this evening, because we don't want to make it all just like a little preaching, but those were some of the areas I would like you to know. And in what we would like to do is that the musicians, we know it would, I asked Brother Bishop for Joel here to help with the bass. Because talking about Brother Ken and, you know, understand he should lead the songs. So him and Brother Ricardo will be leading the songs, and then we get one to play on the bass. Our brother here is to play the guitar, because Arlene, she's just kind of taking up somebody's place there and role, which she can do quite capably and always willing. And that's what we appreciate Arlene so much for, because she, whether no matter how rainy the day is, no matter how hot it is, no matter whether it's a crowd or individual, she wants to be there at the post of duty by God. Well, she has to leave work and hustle on quickly from St. Joseph up there to come down to service. And you see, sometimes, especially for the Princess Tongue Bay saints, you know, a lot of some of these saints have come from very far to be here in service. And that's why, especially we who are home base, we want at the same time to hold our end of the rope by God's grace as well. I really appreciate our little sister here who has been playing so nicely in the meetings. So the song leaders would be with the singers and so on, and what we have, you know, come like when they were building the temple after they came out of Babylon, in time Ezra and them had a whole pile of rubbish, it says, and they had to kind of dig it out to find the stones, the original stones that they had cut from different places and moved to build Solomon's temple. Well, when that temple was burned down and broken down, then they find back a lot of the original stones, you see, to begin to rebuild again. And that's what is happening, is a lot of the original stones have to kind of get back. And you see, by God's grace, we are certainly desiring to see it come to the spot where we can have a real quality atmosphere, because the music is very, very important. You know, another scripture I wanted to read, which I didn't read, was really in 2 Kings. I'm not going to read, I just quote it for you, for the musicians. It was in 2 Kings 3:15, in the time of Elisha, when he said, bring me a minstrel. You know, Brother Abraham took an inspiration off of that and preached Getting in the Spirit, where he talked about the minstrel beginning to play. The prophet was all moody because he saw the false union, and he saw the people went with Jehoshaphat, went with Ahab's son, and then he lead them into the wilderness there, no water, he lead them to the death and everything else. And then when he came, he was so angry with what he saw, he said, bring me a minstrel. And then the minstrel bring the play and bring the spirit and the prophet. And it shows right there in the Bible how the music can create an atmosphere. Now, one of the things in music in the house of the Lord is pre-service and after service is where most of your playing is. And especially after service is your climax. And many times, if the musicians are not in the spirit with the word, they cannot play after service. They can come in service, they pray up for that portion, they give out what anointing they have, and then they sit down there in the service and their mind go all over the place. And by the time the service ends, they come up there and they don't know what song to start to play. They didn't listen to the word, they didn't get into the spirit. And when the service is supposed to climax and they're supposed to play with the real feeling and everything, because the hearts have been touched and broken up by the word and so on, where the spirit can really cap the message in the hearts of the people, and people can come in maybe for repentance or rededication of their lives or a joy and a gladness or a jubilee, whatever it is, by God's grace. If they can come in at the end there and pick it up from the word and the way the Spirit dealt with the people, it shows many times that they're right there, but they're not in the channel of what's going on. That is why they need to be perceptive. They need to be hearing the word. They need to follow the tone of the message. They need to see what the Holy Spirit, through the message, have been trying to do in the hearts of the people. And by the time the Holy Spirit says, okay, let the musicians come back to the instruments or whatever it is, and they take back up the position to play at the end of the service, then right away they must be able to get into the channel by God's grace and play in the spirit of the word that has been ministered. It's very, very important. And you know, that is why when you're in the service, you want to be involved. You come here to be involved. You come here to participate. You come here, especially sometimes, you know, I may come off the platform and call the song lead on. If he comes back on and he knows the Holy Spirit is still here lingering in the building with the people and so on, maybe I didn't dismiss them and I leave it because maybe I felt good to worship the Lord a little bit and so on, then he may be able to come right in and you know, just keep the spirit there and worship among the people and so on as the Holy Spirit ministers to them, and as they sing the songs, and it's like the oil just bathing down the soul, just healing them and ministering to them before they leave God. Remember, you are ministering to people, and you have to be conscious of how the people have been affected too at the same time. So you have to be able to enter in into it, catch it personally, then look at the people and see how they've been affected, and then know that when you come to minister in the end, you know how you can minister to them. You're not just playing then, or you're not just trying to touch a few keys because somebody called a particular song or something, but you can really get there in the feeling and really minister, because we see by the playing of the music, it wasn't the string instrument itself, it was the hands, the soul of the one who was playing with a certain purpose, with a certain anointing, with a certain intent that brought the spirit, that brought the refreshing and made the soul well. So it's very important that we look at it, and it means say the song leaders will be able to have to form out the groups. You know, sometimes maybe get a little group singing, get the individual singing and so on, get maybe some of the songs that would be relevant to the season and what the Spirit is doing. Because you see, many times we want to watch that. If you're watching the Bible, when they sang certain songs in the Bible, certain times they came back, God had to tell them, sing the songs of David. And then when Hezekiah and them, the temple was needed repair, had so much idolatry in the land, the temple was broken down. Then Hezekiah came in and they begin to have a revival among the people. They bring back the instruments. They bring back the songs of David. They set the order in worship. They keep the feast of the Passover. Everything else that they can get the worship in the way it was when it was originally established after having the vision of what was in heaven. And so it is that in this approach to it, we can know that when we come in the house of God and we approach these things, we can approach these things with the sacredness, with the reverence. And in the scripture lies the anointing for every situation. There's a time to dance, there's a time to weep, there's a time for joy, there's a time for everything. And as we know this season, we can have the right anointing from the songs, from the music, from the word. The word is always the thing you watch at, because every revival produces hymnology, every experience gives birth to its own song and different things. And as we journey in the word and we move from one junction to the next, we can see what is being done, and our song give praise, our song come in thanksgiving, our song come in edification, our song come as a blessing. You see, our song come as worship unto the Lord for what we have experienced, what he has done, that it can be worship that can truly be inhabited by the Lord, because he said, hurt not the oil and the wine. And the Father seeketh true worshippers to worship him in spirit and truth. So I just want to close the word of prayer and just turn it over for what I guess they don't want, maybe to kind of have a little playing and maybe a couple of songs or whatever it is after, but just for a word of prayer. And I'll come back in another meeting with you and pick up some more of it, because we need to spend a little while here and get into some of these areas that you all can see. And we're taping these things, so sometimes you take a tape and you listen it back, and the points and the things we kind of look at, that we can really approach it in the way we can really come into a real quality by God's grace. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father, the little exhortation that we have endeavored to give on behalf of the song leaders, the musicians, the singers, this little unit, dear God, that is to work together, gifts that you have placed in the body, Lord, comprised to worship you, to inspire the people, dear God, channels that you have ordained, that you will, Lord, bring a blessing to the hearts of your people, bring healing to the souls, and dear God, give inspiration. We remember the other night preaching about Jehoshaphat, how he got the appointed singers and he put them, and they begin to sing and the musicians begin to play and they went forward into the battle. They didn't even have to use a sword. They just used the music and the battle was won. The singers and the musicians won the battle. We see David casting out devils. We see the minstrel bringing the spirit upon Elisha. We see their God Cheniana, when the ark was coming back, instructed in song, Asaph, Jeduthun, different ones, dear God. Let the anointing that was on these men, Father, Lord, that you put in the Bible in these departments, men who represent, Lord God, the ministry of the musicians and the song leaders and the singers, Lord, let that anointing, Lord, be so released among us. Let these men, the lives and the experiences and these scriptures become the channels that we can explore and we can draw the anointing from, and we can see it mixed together as they mix those different spices and made such an ointment to anoint the priest, the royal priesthood, Lord, as they made a incense to offer up unto you, Lord, that you could come down and inhabit it, Lord. Lord, so even our songs and all these things we do, Lord, give us that which is so greatly needed in this hour, as we desire to set the house of God in order, as we desire to see the body take up its place, the individual members and the different departments evolve as the Holy Spirit brood upon it and bring it up to its perfection, that you can look at the singers after brooding upon them and say, it is good. You can look upon the musicians after you brood upon them and say, it is good. You can look upon the song leaders after they boot upon and say, it is good. Oh, God, you can see this great Eden where he said, let there be light. Oh, God, this great thing can be transformed into such a economy that you can come down and dwell in and walk in among your people and work freely without any hindrance to the benefit and the advancement of your kingdom. Grant it, Lord. We thank you for the time we have spent thus far, and even what is to come afterwards, may you just point to lead and direct, that everything could be done for the benefit of the assistance of these who have gathered here this evening, and even those who will even, Lord, benefit from their testimony and the tape and all that have already been expressed, that their God might see the work truly established in the way that it should be in this hour. May you grant it, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Just turn it back over to Brother Bishop, Brother Ricardo, the brothers, and Brother Ken here. As they, I don't know, whatever they want to be sing and get some of the musicians, get a little harmonized. And because tomorrow is service, and we want that. Tomorrow, yes, tomorrow is service. And when we come in the house of God tomorrow, we want at least to start. You see, it will encourage the people. And when the people see the areas that was left abandoned, the areas that broken down, the areas that paralyzed, begin to spring back up with a freshness, with a quality. It will inspire the heart. Because I believe this church have the potential to really be birthed forth into a real work. And I believe that many people in this area that could walk in this place and see the reality of God. And if we can really work with it by God's grace, work with the Spirit and work with the Word, God surely will do wondrous things for us. God bless you.
Amen. When the word is spoken like that, it just bring us and identify us in the Bible. It just bring us so want to be yielded unto the Lord to give all our all and our service unto Him. Amen. Let's just sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Sing a little bit of songs together, and then we'll get on to some work. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh, let us sing. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Oh, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. For you. let's sing, isn't God good to give us so many blessings? Undeserving, that's what we are, amen. Isn't God good to give us so many blessings undeserved? That's what we are. We are to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, a lot more tomorrow. Isn't God good? So many blessings undeserved. That's what we are. We are to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today. Amen. I'm not seeing some of my singers singing, you know. Your singers this evening, let me see you singing, amen? Clap your hands and sing. To give us so many blessings undeserving, that's what we are. We are to thank Him, love and praise. A lot more tomorrow. One more time now. Isn't God good? Isn't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We are thanking, loving. Praise Him in the noontime, praise Him when the sun refuses to shine. Praise Him on the mountain, praise Him on the mountain. Praise Him in the valley. Everybody praise my Jesus all the time. Oh, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him when the sun refuses to shine. Praise Him on the mountain, ah, praise Him in the valley. One more time, I'll praise Him on the mountain. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him when the sun refuses to shine. Praise Him on the mountain. I'll praise Him in the valley. Everybody praise my Jesus all the time. One more time, oh, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him when the sun refuses to shine. Praise Him on the mountain. Praise Him in the valley. Everybody praise my Jesus all the time.